Please open your Bibles to Romans, the 13th chapter. The lesson tonight is what should be the Christian's duty toward the civil government. Romans, the 13th chapter, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. If this country, people in this country, or the people in any country, if they refused to obey the laws of the land, there would be nothing but chaos and turmoil. As I read in our hearing, it said that you don't have to be afraid of the law if you do what is good. But it says very clearly, if you do evil and that which is wrong and the laws of the land, then that man or that law does not carry the sword in vain. Now that means that you will be punished if you break the laws of the land. There is no question. God expects his children to follow and be a good citizen and follow the laws of the land all the way except when they clash with God's law. It is great to be an American. We've got election kind of going on and coming around. In this country, we can criticize our leaders without fear of being thrown in prison like that happens in so many places. But we must remember that civil governments are ordained or authorized by God. But there is no question that we must submit to those powers. After the war, World War II, there was a resurgence of religion in this country. Now, I'm going to tell you something I hope that we're proud of. After World War II, for the next 50 years, I read where America gave more to help people in need than all the governments combined from the beginning of time. That's pretty strong, isn't it? The founders of America were religious people. They tried to base their laws on the principles of the Bible. And anyone who denies that denies history. Now, it is true that the Supreme Court has passed laws that we do not agree with. There was a time when you couldn't get a divorce in this country, but only under certain circumstances. Supreme Court says almost any reason now. There was a time when women couldn't just get an abortion just because they wanted to have one, but the Supreme Court says now they can. There was a time when those people that wanted to live an alternate lifestyle were in hiding. Now the Supreme Court says they can be out open. But I want you to listen very carefully to me. The law does not make anybody get a divorce. The law does not make any woman have an abortion. The law does not make anyone have an alternate lifestyle. If we're engaged in those, it is because that's what we want to do. We make the decision. So even though there are laws on the books, they should not affect us, because God does not want us engaging in many of these things that in His Word He calls evil. Christians must continue to live their faith regardless of what the world does. There have been three dispensations since the beginning of time. There's been the patriarch, the Mosaic, and the Christian now. But this is the last one. The Bible says we are in the last days. Our God is patient, long-suffering. He is waiting, I suppose, until everyone has a chance to obey Him. I don't know when He is coming, but I do know that God loves us and wants us to turn our lives over to Him. It is what God expects us to do. There's never going to be another dispensation. We are living, according to the Bible, in the last days. Now let me ask, I won't ask for a show of hands. How many have read the book, The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire? Well, I'm going to read here the three things in that book that caused them to fall. You, when I read these, you think about America and see if any of these apply to us. First of all, it was the breakdown of the home. You know, I read where there have been countries where the breakdown of the home was so terrible that another country simply overrun them. But when the home is broke down, then many things go wrong. Secondly, it is the obsession with sex and the perversion of sex. Now, if you don't believe that, go home and turn your TV on, and they'll tell you how much fun you can have in sex if you do this or that, and they will show you different ways to do it. And they will be actually doing it on TV. Don't tell me this country is not obsessed with sex. And thirdly, an increased demand to live off the state. We have in this country millions on millions who the state supports. I don't believe any Christian, I don't know any Christian in my life, that if someone needed help, that we would be willing to help them. But that role, I know for an absolute fact, because I know some of them personally, they are healthy, they will not work, and yet they draw a salary from the government. That's just another one of these things that caused Rome to fall. Arnold J. Tungby, famous British historian, noted of the 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 22 of them, 19 of them have collapsed when they reached the moral state of which America is now in. I didn't write that. I read that in an article. The Bible still teaches us that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. Now, I don't know whether some of you are going to remember what I'm going to say now, but I remember it very well. I remember when the school day began with a reading of one or two verses of Scripture and then a little short prayer. I remember when you go to any kind of athletic event, whether it was men or women, boys or girls, they always offered a prayer over the PA system, and the prayer was that none of them would be hurt. Madeline Mary O'Hare won a landslide decision from the Supreme Court, in which the Supreme Court took God and everything to do with God out of the school. And you no longer, in some places in America, right now, you can't mention God or things like that because you'll get in serious trouble. They also tried, they didn't win, but they tried to remove from their coins and the paper money "In God We Trust." They put up a pretty good fight, but they didn't win that. You know, the devil wants to take God out of everything, and he's got enough soldiers and enough followers that they're doing his bidding. Don't think for one minute that that's not going to happen. It will happen unless Christians take a stand for their great God. There are no absolutes in the modern world. Everything is relative. What is true to one person is not true to another one. America is becoming just like Israel of old, when the Holy Spirit said, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And we're beginning to get that way. It's my business. I'll do what I want to. It's none of your business what I do. Brethren, it is God's business. Many people have lost sight of what we call Bible or biblical authority. The majority are not interested in what God says. They don't want to know if something's right or wrong. They want to have all the fun and the pleasures that they can have. And they are, I don't know about Port Lavaca. When I grew up in Tiptonville, Tennessee, there was enough honky-tonks around that place to fill us ton. I mean, you drive by and you could hear that band playing in there. In Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That's by the authority of the Lord. I repeat, and I will continue to repeat as long as the Lord allows me to, we must obey God, and we must not follow the dictates or the teachings of the world. In Mark 8, verse 36 and 37, there are two questions asked. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? When I stand before the Lord and gets ready to say with me, depart from me, workers of iniquity, and they're going to cast me into the lake of fire, what will I do? I'd give anything and whatever. But that's too late. Solomon said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work device nor knowledge in the grave where you're going. What he's saying is, once you die, you can't change anything. The changes that you have to make and I have to make, we have to make while we're here in this life. All of us know, I'm sure, when I was young, I thought I was going to live forever. I'm old now, and I know my time is limited. I know I'm on the short rows, and I'm concerned. I'll tell you right quick, I'm afraid to get out and do what I ought not to do because I want to go and be with the Lord for many reasons, to see my Lord, to see God, to see my wife and my loved ones that's gone on before. And what about those in the Bible who we read about so much who gave their lives for the Lord? I'm interested in them. In 1 John 4 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Does anyone believe that when we stand before the Lord, he's going to accept some of our excuses? We give them now. I've had people when I was preaching regular that come in and I had to talk to, and I couldn't believe that they would tell me some of the excuses that they gave me. I didn't believe them. I didn't think they held water, and I don't think the Lord believed them either. You know, we shouldn't offer excuses to anything as wonderful as the Word of God. It should be our heart's desire to share the blessings with others of God's Word, which he has given to the world. Don't all of us want to hear the Lord say, well done? That will be the sweetest words that we will ever hear. Is well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. The Bible is replete with things that God has prepared for those that love him. You remember Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Don't you want to live in one of those mansions? 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, my favorite verse. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love it. God created this world, this beautiful world, and he's created all kinds of things for those that love. We can't even imagine how beautiful those things are that he has created. But his children one day will get to see them. You know, one of the things when I was young that scared me about God's Word, and it still does, the Lord said that if you continue to rebel against me and refuse to obey my Word, I want you to listen. He said, I will allow your heart to become hardened to where you will never come to repentance. Now, you know what he's saying? Oh, I still go to church. Oh, I still do this and do that. But in my mind, I'm not willing to make that changes that the Lord expects of me. You know, I spoke over here one morning. Some of you were there, and I talked about sudden death. And I mentioned a lot of people that I knew that were killed instantly. And I hope they were all ready to meet their Lord. I don't know whether they were or not. But we need to be every day, all the time, to be ready for when the Lord will call us home. We often speak of the unspeakable gift of God. That unspeakable gift is Jesus, and unspeakable simply means it is something that God did for us that we cannot know fully, nor can we explain. Does anybody be able to explain in the depths of why God loved us so much he was willing to let his son die? Does anybody believe that we're going to stand in the front of the Lord? And I think about this often, and he said, David, I let my son die for you, and you could have cared less. You think he's going to say to me, come on in, David, you're a fine, fine person. Christianity is not a game. It is a life to live, and God expects us to live it. To do God's will and to obey him is a leap of faith. It is a big leap of faith, but our eternal destiny depends upon it. If we will obey and follow the teachings of the Lord, we will have his love, his care, his help, and his abiding presence, not only now, but in that life which is to come. I've had tragedy in my life more than once, and I have felt the presence of the Lord. I can't swear that he was there. I can't swear that he had his arm on me, but I felt he was close. God loves us, and he wants us to give our lives to him, to live the way he wants us to live, and do the things that he wants us to do. Think about the tragedy of so many people who know the Lord's will, and yet they do not, or are not willing to accept and obey it. Some people have something in their lives that they know is wrong, but they're not willing to give it to the Lord, repent of that, and ask him to forgive you. He said he would. There are those that I know for an absolute fact know what they ought to do in obedience unto the Lord, but they're not willing. I've had people tell me that I studied with, well, I'm just not ready yet. What happens if the Lord calls them home? That's too late. Now, this is my last time with you, and I may never see any of you again. But I'm extending to you the Lord's invitation. If there's something wrong in your life and you know it, that you will be willing to make that change tonight. Your brethren want to pray with you and for you that God will forgive you, and he will. And if there's someone here who has not given their life to the Lord in obedience to his will, tonight is the night you should do it. You remember the Lord said today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. I plead with all of you, and if you're living as you ought to live, may God continue to bless you and you walk in that love. But if you're not, I plead with you to come to the Lord while together we stand and while we sing.